Blog Talk Radio.
West Side.
The world is mine, nigga, get back. Don't fuck with my stack, the gauge is whacked. About to drop the bomb, I'm the motherfucking Don. Big fish in a small pond. Not a fish trying to throw they book at the crook, but I shook. They worm and they hook. Guppies hold they breath. They want to miss me when I'm tipsy. Running everything west of the Mississippi. It's the unseen pulling strings with my pinky ring. We got your woman pucker up, but we fuck her up. Bow down before I make a phone call. Got 25 niggas running up on y'all. But the cheese, we want them keys. Everybody freeze on your knees. Butt naked please. Before any of you guppies get hoarse. Nigga, rewind my part, fool. And bow down when I come to your town.
Bow down
when I'm wet with bands.
Bow down,
cause I ain't a hater like you. Bow down to a nigga that's greater than you. I take 10 steps and I draw. Now who's this in the mad ass Inglewood edition? I bust like a pimple, my mind is still mental. The west side connects with me in South Central. When the drag from the zigzag can't fuck with the Phillies. Holding down the wild west like the kid they call Billy. Once again it's Mac 10, the gold crown holder. Strong as a Coca-Cola with a chrome pistola. Now who wanna fuck so I can bust when I cuss? My look bring you fear with gear from the surplus. Since a teen I chase the green, the crack scene team. Low lows, corniches, and baguettes on my pieces. So recognize these real cheese. Chase the cheese, the west side connect. Keep it rolling like gold. These three willing and dealing. It's like the California style. But in the meanwhile, in my town, you got the bow.
Bow down
when you come to my town.
Bow down
when I'm westward bound.
Bow down
because I ain't a hater like you. Bow down to a nigga that's greater than you.
Well, it's that Chuck wearing still sported a beanie. Yeah. The shadiest nigga when a click. Who wanna see me gas? I slide my notes on, let my khaki sing. West side, connect gang, bing, bing, bang. Run away, gonna get your punk ass slayed by this H, double O to the D to the STA. Fuck harder than I'm gang related, simple and plain, which means I can give a fuck about you niggas in this rap game. Flashy niggas get stuck up, beat the fuck up. When you come around, keep your chain tucked from this 00 apostrophe, yes, shit. Fuck the studio lyricist, I'm real with this. Talk the talk, walk the walk. Kiss me your wax, I'm trying to saw your whole fucking head off. Yeah, I'm platinum bound, so bitch, shut up. And nigga, wall, y'all can kiss my Converse like show me.
Bow down
when I come to your town.
Bow down
when I'm west with bam.
Bow down
cause I ain't a hater like you. Bow down to a nigga that's greater than you.
Bow down
when you come to our town.
Bow down
when we west with bam.
Bow down
cause we ain't no haters like you. Bow down to some niggas that's greater than you.
Tell you something, gangsters make the world go round. So you ain't got the clown. But if you live on the west side of your town, make them other fools bow down. West side connection, the world belongs to us.
Bow down. Bow down. Bow down. Bow down.
When you come to our town.
Bow down
when we westward bound.
Bow down
cause we ain't no haters like you. Bow down to some niggas that's greater than you, fool.
Alrighty guys, welcome to the September 17th edition of Rubber Guard Radio. I'm your host KZ. We're doing it early in the afternoon today because there's the UFC fight night tonight, followed by the season premiere of The Ultimate Fighter, which looks to be a really good season. There's some really good fighters. Should be fun. This episode of Rubber Guard Radio is brought to you by our sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com. You can get wrestling DVDs, lucha, Japanese DVDs, T-shirts, lucha masks. They also recently put out two shoot interviews. The first one was a two-disc set with the Ballard Brothers. I sat down for about 2.5 hours with Shane and Shannon. We went over their career. And the second disc is some of their best matches in SoCal Pro Wrestling in San Diego. There's some good stuff on there. Matches with the Young Bucks, Los Luchas, Mirror Image. Good stuff there. Definitely worth checking out. $19.99 for the two-disc set. And the other shoot interview is my pride and joy. I can't put it over enough. The Michael Modest shoot interview. I sat down for 2 hours and 45 minutes. under the learning tree. Mike was just schooling motherfuckers on everything, you know, and it was just a really good show. And, yeah, it was definitely fun. Also, this episode is also brought to you by a friend of the show, Carl Stern. His kayfabe, that's his kayfabe name. His artist or author name is James S. Hicks. And he just put out a book that you can read on the Kindle. It's called Absence of Absalom, A-B-S-A-L-O-M. And you can get that at Amazon.com. Just type in, I would say, Absalom, or you can go to the player page for Rubber Guard Radio, and you can click on the link. And I have on the line first my guest co-host, Mr. Ed in San Antonio. Eduardo, how's it going, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Keezy? Sorry I'm a little late here.
Oh, it's all good. What we're going to do is we're going to open the phone lines for the whole two-hour show. Area code 347-215-7946. Got anything to say? Anything you want to talk about? Let's bring it. What's going on, Eddie?
Not too much, man. I was just taking care of a little business with Stevie J. He's going to be doing me a favor in the morning since he's got a, what do you call it, one of those bike club things. He's going to I'm going to send him some money to get me some tickets just in case they're out of the good, you know, the cheap ones by Saturday when they go on sale to the public. So,
cool.
I agree.
So, are you ready for a big UFC night?
Tonight? Yeah. Hopefully it'll be pretty fun, man. It'll be pretty good.
Well, before we get going, we have a caller on the line. Caller from the 813. Whom am I speaking with?
It's the man you asked to come on, bro. You don't recognize my area code?
Oh, shit. I didn't write down your number. Big D, what's up, baby? I got Ed on the line.
Did you have to play the whole Bow Down song, bro? It's like,
you're damn right,
I know,
motherfucker, because I'm repping the West Side. Okay?
I know, man. But people complain about my song being a minute and a half. You played the entire song, man, but that's all right. This is a two-hour show, so it's all good. How are you? And how's it going? How's everybody?
It's going pretty good down here, Big D. It's going pretty good, man. We'll get to see some kick-ass fights tonight.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's why we're on the air early. You know, I had to get in a show this week. I can't do it tomorrow, so I figured, fuck it, man. I got a couple hours free in the afternoon before I pick up the kid. You know, we may as well get goofy. But we're going to start out UFC Fight Night, brothers. We're going to run it down. Dan Miller, who I have no idea, against Rob Kimmins, who I have no idea. So we're just going to scrap that one.
Yeah, fuck
The next one in the 185 division, we have Drew McFedries in there with I wouldn't say a tomato can, but, you know, the guy's got a 10-2 record, but I haven't heard of him. Mike Massenzio. You guys hear this guy? I never have.
Nah, man. you're on the dark matches right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in the darks.
You know, it's, like, funny. When you watch one of these fight nights, they don't really try to stack them with a lot of talent unless it's, like, one big fight. I mean, there are some pretty big fights on the card, but it's funny how a UFC fight night is the sort of the equivalent of a regular UFC pay-per-view's darks matches. So when you're doing the dark matches for the fight nights, you know you're going to have some people that you've never heard of, that you've never seen before. I guess it's Dana giving them a shot or whatever.
But see, you know, the thing is, though, D, I get the dark fights after because you never know, you know, what you'll miss. Or, you know, you might see that diamond in the rough. Like this one, I don't know why this is dark. Kyle Bradley, who I don't know, taking on Joe Lozon. I don't understand why that's a dark fight.
Yeah, Lozon's a big team where you can put him on there. I mean, he's actually kind of popular, and he's pretty goddamn good fighter, too.
Yeah,
didn't he fight Ken Flo a couple of fight nights ago?
Yeah, he did. He got outclassed on that one. He wasn't ready for someone with the experience of Ken Flo. But Joe Lozon, as long as he keeps working at it, man, he's got, you know, the sky's the limit. He's got potential. And it's
he's
all
young, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's young, you know, and he's been training out in Hawaii with BJ Penn. So, you know, his jiu-jitsu's fucking rocking. The next one, which is a dark fight as well, we have Wilson Gouveia. You know, who's a pretty decent, you know, 185 against Ryan Jensen, who's coming up. So, I mean, this is another good one.
All right.
Yeah, I think Govea's got the edge on in this fight, so I'll go with Govea. I don't know if
you're talking
about the other.
He's a little more experienced from what I've seen.
Hey, guys, we have a Skype caller. Wow.
Uh-oh.
It's Skype caller.
Bring on the trolls.
Welcome to Rubber Guard. Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Who am I speaking with?
Experto.
Who?
Experto.
We got too many Hispanics on the line. Hang up on that guy.
Hello?
Okay. Okay, we'll see you later, brother.
Too many Hispanics, man. You're surrounded, KZ.
I know. Them damn Mexicans and Cubans. Okay, we have Alessio Sakara.
Hey, KZ, how come your channel, how come the chat in your Block Talk looks different than all the other chats?
I can't
know.
Even see it on mine.
Really?
Yeah, I just, nothing there. That's weird.
Oh, okay. Well, that Experto guy that called is in the chat room. So, kind of weird.
All right.
I have no idea.
Weird.
No clue who that guy is. Whatever, he's a listener. Sakara against Vidapapo. I have no idea who this guy is. You know,
there's no information on him at all.
Nothing.
At all. I think Sakara's got this one. But then again, man, I can't say that because if you don't know the other guy, you really can't just say, oh, well, the other guy's in UFC. You can't. So I can't tell you anything. There's a lot of unknown people on this card.
And then this one, they have listed. They say it's going to go on last, which I don't understand. Eric Schaefer, I think, is going to make Houston Alexander tap out of his UFC contract.
That can't go on last, man. Not with Diaz and fuck it, not with Danzig and Guida on the card. That can't go on last.
Yeah,
that's right.
I've seen that where like some sites will be saying that Houston's the main event, and then all the other ones are saying Diaz and Nier are the main event. It's like, I'm kind of curious as to what's the deal and who's really going to be the main event. I mean, why are they? I know Alexander's from the that's
from,
like
from Omaha.
Yeah, I know that's
okay.
His home township, but still, I don't think he should be in the main event, especially after you've lost two and the guy you're fighting's not. I don't really know a whole lot about him, so I mean, I don't understand why he would be the main event.
Mhm. Yeah, I don't understand that either. We have another Skype caller, so let's patch him in. Skype caller, welcome to Rubber Guard Radio.
Mark, but I'd like to meet you.
Well, okay. Why don't you fucking blow me?
My name is Bertha.
That was gay. These
don't worry,
don't
it's just some fat, overweight, unemployed guy sitting in front of his computer eating ice cream. Don't
talk about Vince that way.
Oh, get out of here. That's not even right. Vinny's not a goober. I met him.
Yeah, and he's actually not that fat, man, so.
I know, that's weird, isn't it?
That's not compared to me and Big D. That's for sure.
Hey, speak for yourself. I'm sexy.
Shit. So am I. But, you know, nobody's perfect. What's with this Experto guy? Man,
maybe he's a troll on the board under a different name.
Yeah, I guess he is. What a fag. That's gay. Let's see. Let's go to the next match, which I think is one of those secret loser leave town matches. Alan Belcher against Short Fuse, faggot-ass Ed Herman. Do you guys think it's going to be a loser leave town?
It depends. It's hard to say because whenever you could be right, but from what I've seen, if you think it's a loser leaves town fight and both guys come out there and bang and they have like an incredible fight, Dana might not be so willing to let him go. So it could be. I mean, both guys have been, I think they both lost their last fights. Am I correct on that?
Yes. 718 caller, that's on hold. What we're going to do is we're going to run down the rest of this UFC card. If you can call back in about 10 minutes, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Let's see.
Oh, I see the chat now. Sorry about that.
Okay. My choice for what I think is the main event, Mac Danzig taking on possibly his toughest challenger, Clay, my dog, the carpenter, Guida. I mean, guys, you guys have heard me before. When they put the 155ers on, man, they're going to tear shit up. And Clay is money. Whether he wins or loses or not, he's money. This is the real main event. I'm going to say Clay is going to tap him in the third. I hope that Clay can actually finish. What do you think, Eddie?
Well, I'm hoping Clay wins. Clay is one of my favorite fighters, but he has trouble. If you look at his record, he has trouble with very smart, intelligent fighters, and Mike Danzig is a very smart, intelligent fighter. And I don't know, man. I mean, I'm sure Guido will dominate for the most part, but he may leave himself open like he did against Huerta, and he could lose it, man. So I'm going to go with Guido, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets caught, like, late in the fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree. What do you think, D?
Man, this is going to be fun. That's really,
exactly.
To me, yeah, it doesn't matter who wins or loses. Guido's a wild man, and Mac Danzig's one of the best heels I think that they've got, and, you know, to use the pro wrestling terminology, because when he was on the Ultimate Fighter, he was the one guy, like we talked about before, oh, I'm a vegan, I'm better than everybody, and with that, you know, deep voice and that super hot wife he's got, you know, it's easy to hate the guy, but you can't deny his talent, and that rear naked choke, which, once again, I don't want to go to wrestling terminology, but that is his finishing move. Much like BJ Penn's finishing move is also the rear naked choke. You know how many guys he's beat with that. If he catches Guido with that, forget it. And I actually think he will, because Huerta caught Guido, and I actually feel that Danzig might be a little more talented than Huerta. Could be wrong on that one, though, but I think Guido's going to have to ground and pound him. I don't think he's going to be able to tap him out, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun, and it's a real good test for Danzig. Danzig. Mother! So I freak out when I hear his name, man. But, you know, it's going to be a real good test to see if, you know, he can hang, you know, with the 155ers. And it's going to be a fun fight for everybody involved.
Neither guy should leave after this one, win or lose. They should both stay.
Well, yeah. And to be honest, I think that the winner of this fight should face the winner of the next fight, the main event, Nate Diaz and Josh Neer. That way you have guys advancing forward in the division. Neer or Diaz, Ed? Eddie.
What's that? Hold on. I'm gonna go with Diaz.
Diaz, okay.
Yeah, I think he'll sneak in a submission somewhere. I think he'll actually be dominating maybe for the first two rounds, or Neer will be in control. But I see Nate squeaking in a triangle from the ground and tapping him out.
So do you think he's gonna do one of those funky ass poses again?
Knowing him, you know, wouldn't doubt it. Him and his brother got in the octagon after the fight and started smoking a blunt.
Man, how about you there, Big D?
Yeah, man, I agree with Ed. You want to talk about heels. Once again, here we go. The Diaz brothers are untapped marketable potential. I mean, if you want to really do a fight that would really appeal to the Hispanics, I don't see why they can't do Roger Huerta versus Nate Diaz or Nick Diaz, if he'll ever come back to the UFC. I think that they're the Diaz brothers, both of them, you know, they're trained under Cesar Gracie, very talented. I still think they still have a lot more to do in this business, in the MMA business. I do think that he's going to catch him in a triangle or something similar to that on the ground. I actually agree with Ed. And hopefully we'll see a funky pose, and hopefully we'll see an insane promo. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
There you go. So do you think that they're actually going to, you know, put these guys together?
Who?
The semi-main and the main on the maybe a next Fight Night show?
I don't see why not, or maybe even the undercard of a UFC pay-per-view. What they should do if they want to be smart, and I don't want to overpack the show, but I think they need to do something with Brock and Randy on this card. I think they need to do an angle, for lack of a better term, have them, you know, have like maybe Rogan interview both of them. Do something now to begin the build toward that huge show in November. I think that would be a smart thing to do.
I have to agree. All right, guys, we're going to move on to the next segment. So, Mr. D, I'm going to give you the office. Let people know what's going on later on tonight and tomorrow.
Me?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What is going on tonight?
Don't you have a show
tonight? No, I don't have a show tonight. Nah, because of the UFC, I did not have a big DS Super Friends show tonight. The one I did was on Sunday. I'll plug that. Me and Lou got together on Sunday. We talked about wrestling video games. Now, we were unable to finish the conversation because the phone cut out, and then once you're past the hour or whatever time you have on Blog Talk, it boots you off. So we're going to do another one soon, probably next month or so, talking about Fire Pro and all the games that we missed out on. I know you want in on that. We're going to talk about King and Coliseum and all that stuff. Lots of games we left out. But it is available on Angry Marks or on blogtalkradio.com/emperor_big_D. The next show that I do will probably be next Wednesday night. And tomorrow night's the Angry Marks show at 11.
There you go. Well, thanks for coming in, D. It was my pleasure.
Okay.
I'm going to cut you off because I have a very special guest.
Of course. You always have a special guest.
Of course, brother.
But all right.
I got more game than Brian Alvarez, baby.
It appears so. But all right, man. Thanks for having me on. I do appreciate it.
All right, brother. Hey, enjoy the fights tonight.
I will. Thank you.
Take it easy.
Later, man.
All righty. Ed, what we're going to do is we're going to patch in the big boss. Coming from San Bernardino, the owner of the Empire Wrestling Federation, Mr. Jesse Hernandez. Welcome to the show, Jess. How you doing, boss?
I'm doing good, Casey. How's everything out there in Northern California?
It's nice. It's nice. I'm sorry for having you on hold. I wanted to get rid of wrap up the MMA portion of the show. So.
Not a problem.
We can talk pro wrestling.
There you go,
Mr. Ed. Have you caught any of Jesse's matches on the ESPN AWA Classic shows?
Actually, I just barely got ESPN Classic this past week, so I actually haven't been able to catch any yet. But I'm pretty sure I saw him back in the day. I'm trying to go through my brain.
He had one of your more famous ones, Jesse, was the one with Colonel DeBeers.
That was actually my special match.
Yes.
One of my favorite ones, actually.
Yeah, that was some really good stuff. I caught the show sometime last week, and they had Brody in there, and he was killing Tim Patterson. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Were you ever in the ring with Brody?
Yes, I was a few times, actually. Him and Brody and the Barbarian, North the Barbarian attacked. Can you imagine both being in the ring with both of those guys? But you know what? I got to tell you something. Those guys really, really never hurt me. They took care of me, and I often wonder why, because everybody that they wrestled came out of there all black and blue, man. And years later, I asked the Barbarian. I said, brother, I got to ask you, man. I mean, all those times that I wrestled you guys, I mean, I remember some of those guys, like Tim Patterson, like you said, Tim Patterson, guys like that, they came out all black and blue, man. And he told me, he says, you know what? Brody was the boss in that ring. And he said, hey, let's take care of that little Mexican guy. He said, he's a good guy. You know, so maybe that's why. I don't know. But that's what he told me, and I was very, very happy about that.
The thing is, though, Brody and Hansen and Nord, they had to really pour it on as far as their gimmicks concerned, because especially in Vern's territory, because it was more of a wrestling type of territory, so they had to go that extra mile, and you know, that was an amazing time. 84 through 86 with Brody was just, you know, that was possibly my second favorite time of Brody's. My first was his All Japan run with Hansen as a tag team in 84 and 85. They were just unbelievable.
They were awesome.
Yeah, I got I got a Brody question if I could ask real quick. Do you have, when he was in the AWA, of course he had to go by King Kong Brody because of the Bruiser. And I was wondering, did he resent that? Did that bother him that he couldn't be Bruiser Brody and that he had to go by King Kong Brody?
You know what? I don't know. I you know, when we did those events in Vegas, we were in separate dressing rooms. Like I said, that's why it took me years to find out, you know, from the Barbarian, you know, and ask him the question that I just mentioned. And it took me years before I finally had a chance to talk to him. Because when we did the Vegas stuff, we didn't really communicate. They were on one side of the building, and we were on the opposite side, you know. So there was no communication except, you know, back and forth with the referee. That was it, or by phone, but, you know, that was limited.
What were the Vegas shows at? They were at the Showboat, right?
Showboat, yeah.
It was at the Showboat, yeah.
Showboat.
Now, Jess, hold on just a second, Ed. I forget, it was the Rock and Roll Express shoot interview I listened to yesterday, and they mentioned that in Memphis, you know, they had the kayfabe locker rooms, the heel and the babyface, and that instead of sending a referee over, they sent over a tape recorder with the finish. Have you ever heard of that?
Never. First time. This is the first time I've ever heard of anything like that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
That is a hell of an idea.
Because, you know, to be honest, Jesse, I think that the business needs to go back to the kayfabe locker rooms, heel one side, babyface on the other. They get sent over a finish. I know that your boys in San Bernardino, they know how to go out there and put on, you know, 20, 30-minute matches, and they can just go, you know.
Exactly.
And it seems to come off more choreographed now, where guys are working on spots and all this. Raven, for one, he says, you know, hey, I've got five moves. You know, he tells the guy, these are my five moves. We're going to do these. We'll fill in the blanks. Here's the finish.
Yeah.
It's not spontaneous.
Yeah. Right, I agree. And you know what? I have to say that some of my best matches were where you just went into the ring with maybe a couple of you know, just a couple of spots, you know, and then, of course, you're finished. And that was it. Everything, you know, came, you know, depending on how you felt the crowd, you know, which is something that the new generation of wrestlers just cannot understand that. You know, they got to go in from beginning to end knowing what's going to happen, you know, and that's not the way to do it. You got to know how to listen to the crowd.
I tend to put it this way. When you go out to a nightclub by yourself, and you go and you walk up to the bar and you find a girl and you ask her to dance, do you know beforehand what dance moves she's going to do?
You have no idea.
There you go. That's exactly what it should be.
Exactly.
Very
well put.
It really bothers me because it seems like these guys are going out and they're playing wrestling. You know, they're not telling stories. They're not. I mean,
and that's why when they blow a spot, you know, or they forget something, it's like they got to rethink. They're lost, you know. It's, no, that's not the way we did it back then, brother.
Now, have you been watching any of the current product at all?
Any of the what? I'm sorry.
Any of the current WWE product?
Very little. Not as much as I'd like to. I don't, you know, unfortunately, I don't have the time. I'm running around you know, doing my publicity, putting up flyers, you know. It's, you know, to be able to draw a crowd, you got to really bust your case and run around putting up flyers. And so by the time I get home, that stuff is almost finishing, or so I catch a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, there's actually been a long story that's been just going on for months. Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
Right.
And they're just, it's a throwback, you know, brother, to what we grew up watching.
Exactly.
Believable, you know, completely believable. You know, Jericho at SummerSlam took a swing at Michaels, and Michaels moved and it hit his wife, who was in the ring with him.
I did watch that that event, and that was the highlight of the whole pay per view. I thought that was the best thing that was on there. You know, better than any match. I mean, the angle that they did was beautiful, man. It was really, really good, you know. So I do have to take my hat off to both gentlemen. They were awesome.
And I don't condone I don't condone, you know, violence against women. I don't.
Uh-huh.
Now,
right.
since WWE does it on like every other show, you know, it doesn't mean anything. But the way that they worked it, it was just beautiful, and she took it too. She
oh,
took
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fat lip and all. Wow. I mean, she was busted up.
Oh yeah, man.
That was beautiful. I mean, you know, I mean, it was well done, well put together. They all did a hell of a job on that.
Ed,
I think that was the whole highlight of the. I'm sorry, that was the whole highlight of the whole the whole pay per view. I think that was the best thing, and it's not the first time I mentioned that. That's what I've been telling people that have asked me about that pay per view. That was the highlight. That was it.
Yeah, the only reason I got it.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
Honestly, it's the only reason why I got the replay.
Right.
Hey Eddie.
Yo.
We're discussing the Jericho Michaels feud. You go back. You're in Texas, so you saw World Class. You saw Southwest. You saw all this hot stuff back in the day. How did the SummerSlam angle come off to you, and how did it make you feel?
I thought it was awesome. I mean, it was to me. It said money. It was money, and
exactly.
It was executed perfectly. Everything was just awesome, and it really goes back. I mean, it really kind of. You don't see angles that make such an impact. I mean, like you were saying back in Texas, it's hard to find the match of Cage Door Slam, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what this was kind of was. I mean, it was just like that. It was money, and it was you knowing it was money and making you excited for it. So it was kind of a throwback because they very rarely do anything nowadays where you're really excited and it's like, you know, make you say, oh, shit, I can't believe that. You know, that's what they did with this angle.
Yeah. And they're not done yet.
No.
They are not done yet because they put the strap on Jericho a couple weeks ago, and now that extends the program, and they're going to go to a ladder match, which is Michael's match. You know, he didn't create it, he didn't innovate it, but, you know, it is his match. And I think that Michaels would probably take the belt, and they'll go with Jericho winning the Rumble, and they will finish it at Mania. But that's just my call, and I see that they could do that. That this angle has legs because they both can go in the ring. In the ring is not an issue. They both can do it on the stick, and Michaels has the amount of stroke backstage where he can write his own stuff, and he has that type of control. And, you know, and Michaels, he's not an idiot. You know, he came up, you know, the hard way. You know, he came up through Texas. He came up through Watts. You know, he learned properly.
That's right.
Have you ever been in the ring with Michaels?
It's funny that you mentioned that. For some reason, Shawn Michaels credits his first match with WWE as a match between them and myself as the Intruder. I'm trying to think if I wrestled as an Intruder. I can't remember if I wrestled as the IP. It might have been as an Intruder and Mike Sharp. But that was actually the second match because it was the night before that they had a really good match. That I thought was an okay match, you know, except that they didn't have no pops in it, you know. And I don't remember who they wrestled, but that night I remember they were unhappy about it, you know. And knowing Sean and Marty the way I did, you know, I asked him, hey, man, if you set it up, I'll wrestle you guys tomorrow, you know, with any partner, you know, get you guys, you know, at least, you know, because I knew their style and everything, Lucha style, you know.
Right.
They were highly into that. So, and they arranged it the very next night, whether it was in Fresno or somewhere up north, I think, we wound up wrestling them. And, you know, up to this day, they credit that as their first WWE match. If you ever look it up. Shawn Michaels claims that as his first WWE match.
Well, you know, Michaels has gotten a bad rap.
Uh-huh.
You know, having an attitude or whatever. But you know, if you take care of him, if you help him, I don't. If you help him, he will not forget.
No, he won't. He's really a good guy, man. He really is. You know, I mean, I've known Marty. I mean, Marty and Shawn both. You know. Since they were, of course, when we were all over at AWA doing that stuff out there. And so, you know, So I knew him when he first came out, just a young kid, probably 17, 18 years old, you know. And, of course, you know, he comes into WWF at the time. And then later on when he did get hired, that were when they both got hired, yeah, they might have been a little bit cocky here and there, whatever. And then, you know, of course, you know, then the click started. And, of course, you know, he did get big-headed and stuff, you know. And you know the rest. I don't have to tell you, you know. But I think that now the Shawn Michaels of today is so much different than what he, you know, than what he was in the 80s, you know, or early 90s.
Yeah. The other day I have a 3-disc DVD set of the Marty Jannetty Shawn Michaels feud after they broke up, and the first segment on the set is Michaels putting Marty through the glass on the barbershop.
Right.
Now that was another hot angle.
You know, that was filmed at the Tuesday night in Texas?
No, I didn't. Wow.
Yeah, because I went to that show and I remember it, and I was like, cool. Yeah, it was pretty exciting when they did that, when they broke them up. I can't believe the hometown crowd turned on them the way they did. Usually you won't see that nowadays.
Well, they're a different breed of fans. But now, we mentioned Michaels and the gentleman that broke him in, Jose Lothario.
Of course.
Jesse, I know you've worked Southern California and all over. Have you had any run-ins with Mr. Lothario?
With Lothario? As a matter of fact, the first time that I ever talked to him, or actually he called me, this is when I was maybe a year and a half into the business, and Goliath, the guy that trained me, you know, he was so used to promoters moving the wrestlers around that, you know, he wasn't used to the idea of exchanging his number, you know, and getting work on his own, you know. He was old school, you know. The promoters, they kept you in an area for a year, 2 years or whatever, 6 months, and they would, okay, now you go to Texas or now you go to wherever, Tennessee. They moved you around. So he wasn't used to, you know, doing things for himself. So nobody hardly ever had his number. And believe it or not, Black Gorman was in Texas, and they wanted to get Goliath out there for a couple of weeks. So he had the promoter, which was Jose Lothario. He called me at my house and spoke to me about get Goliath to go to Texas with him for a couple of weeks and stuff. That was the first time that I've ever talked to him, and it was around the time that El Santo had died. That same week, as a matter of fact, he had died. We discussed that and everything. And then, of course, later on, when they started using him at WWF events, you know, I got to talk to him, you know, in person. But I knew his brother, Salvador Lothario, which was a local wrestler and promoter out here in Southern California. I worked for him a few times, and, you know, and I used to run into him quite often and stuff. And really good guy, really, really good guy.
I'm a huge mark for tag team wrestling, and it's been, you know, tossed around who are the top 10 tag teams ever. And on Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez's show a couple weeks ago, they were discussing Goliath and Gordman. And I feel that they should be ranked in that at least top 10. Because
I agree.
They were completely different than anything other than, you know, the Guerreros.
Yeah.
Other than the
yeah.
Guerreros. And whether they were heel, baby, it didn't matter. They were solid. And
they were solid.
Amazing.
And, you know, and they knew what each other was thinking, man. You know, they were working. Mm-hmm. They're like clockwork. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, this guy could read the other guy's mind, you know. And they'd fall in position, you know. I mean, they were awesome. They were amazing to watch.
Ed, do you ever get a chance to see the Great Goliath and Black Gordman?
I've seen a little bit of the tag team on video, but I've seen a lot of Black Gordman. He would always come into Texas. I've watched him for 15 years maybe. But as a tag team, I've seen very little. But I mean, they were pretty good. I mean, they had some good chemistry going.
Mm-hmm. Well, they drew money. They drew money wherever they went.
Yeah.
You know?
They were amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't get the respect that they deserve. And, you know, it's a shame. because when some people hear, you know, they're from Mexico, then they're just those flippy floppy guys. There
yeah,
are other
you know,
guys out there.
Right.
You know.
You know, I have to agree with you, man.
Like Blue Panther. Blue Panther.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to either of you gentlemen, but he's called, at least in my circle of friends, the Mexican Dean Malenko. He's that
wow.
type of a technical type of
uh-huh.
type of worker, and he is just, you know, Panther is just amazing. Have you ever been in the ring with Panther?
No, but I have. I can't recall that I have. I've been around him many times when they used to come out into when AAA was coming out to LA quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And I will rent my ring out to them. And, of course, I used to talk to him a lot back then. But it's been a few years since I've seen him.
Mm. He's still going strong.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's still going strong. And you know, that guy's going to he's gonna be like Mascaris. He's going to, you know, work till he's 90.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Sure. Yeah.
Ed, did you ever get a chance to see any Blue Panther?
I saw pretty much his whole program with Art Barr. And a little bit before the CMLL went off of Galavision. I used to watch it all the time, but I haven't seen too much of them lately. I did want to say something. We were talking about tag teams a second ago.
Sure.
What's really unfortunate about tag teams is a lot of people, for some reason, it seems like tag team wrestling started around the era of the Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, and people forget about teams like Gordman and Goliath and Steamboat and Youngblood and Anderson and Koloff. And, you know, there's all these giant, great, great tag teams that, because they didn't have a fancy name, you know, people don't bring them up when they talk about the great tag teams. And I think that's kind of a shame.
Yes.
Well,
and
Jeff,
there's so many great tag teams over the years, man. And you're right, they just don't give them enough credit.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, boss. Out of all the guys that you've been, you know, had in your corner as far as working in a tag team, who is your favorite partner and what was your favorite match together?
Brother. I have to say, I don't know if you ever heard of the name of Herodes. Herodes was he worked for CMLL years ago, back in the early 80s, and he was one of my most I love watching this guy. When I used to see him on Galavision, man, I used to love, you know, I loved his character. He was such a great, great wrestler. And it was quite an honor one day that I wound up wrestling twice that same Sunday, once in Mexicali early in the morning, like 11 o'clock event at the Bullfight Arena. And that was Bill Anderson, I believe, worked as a Starman or something like that, and myself, and had all this as tag team partners, man. And we went against a couple of young guys, it was three guys, but one of them was a real stiff individual. I'm trying to think of his name, he was real stiff. I can't think of him, but he was actually out of Anaheim, the Anaheim area. Remington was his name. This guy was so damn stiff throughout the whole match, you know. Just made that match very, very. It was awful. It was awful, and I was happy to be there because Herodes was my partner, but just not very happy because of the match, you know. And so then that night in Tijuana, that same night, we had the same match again, but they took him out. They pulled him out of that match, and they put Salvador Lothario on, man. Brother, what a match that was, man. You know, and then Sal was older at the time, you know. So I mean, you know, he didn't have the energy of some of us younger guys then, you know. But still, the match turned out to be very, very good, man. And I remember telling Lothario in front of Remington, I said, brother, it is a pleasure to work with professionals such as you, you know. And we just embarrassed the hell out of that other kid, you know. But, oh, that was one of my favorite matches ever. Mm. And, you know, it was just amazing.
Now, when you were working in Southern California, you were mainly a babyface, correct?
Well, no, I wrestled as the Friar as a heel,
right.
And Jesse Hernandez, of course, if I wrestled as Hernandez, it was a babyface, and then of course I, you know, then start getting other gimmicks, you know, in WWF at the time, I couldn't use the name. Well, I used Hernandez as a referee, but I couldn't use it as a wrestler because of Hercules Hernandez. You know, so then what they did, they just, well, just put on a mask and we'll call you something else. So then they called me the intruder or whatever, you know. And then if I wrestled without the mask, then it was Cortez. Because they didn't want me to, as a wrestler, I couldn't use Hernandez.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, being in the L.A. area for LaBelle, were you ever in the ring with any of the Guerreros?
Well, many, many times, of course. I'm trying to think if it was with LaBelle. No, it was a maybe. I'm trying to think. I think, working for Mike LaBelle, I can't remember. But I know that we went up for a show up in Bakersfield for a different promoter around the same time. And I got to wrestle. It was myself and Jay York, as a matter of fact, against Hector and Mondo, I think it was, brother. And let me tell you, you know, see, I was a new guy there, you know, so Jay York was the laziest tag team partner I ever had, brother.
Didn't he have?
You know, he kept me inside that ring, man. You know, and every time I went to tag him in, he would go in for 30 seconds and tag me back in again.
Talk about living the gimmick. Didn't he look like an Alaskan with that
beard? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
That's what's missing now, brother. You know, are real characters.
Yeah. And let me tell you, right before Gordy died, just shortly after he died, or before he died, I should say, I got the promotion win, I believe. I don't know if you remember that promotion.
Oh, yes.
Just, you know. Anyway, I got to wrestle all the Guerreros. All the Guerreros, except the father, of course. But it was Eddie, Mondo, Chavo, Hector, everybody, man. And I remember I wrestled as a Banzai, I believe, on that one. I had this Japanese gimmick. And these guys, they did a pyramid on top of me, man, in the corner. They had me at the bottom. And I had all Guerreros over on top of me, man. It was crazy. But, yeah, I did have the pleasure of wrestling all of them.
Now, honestly, which of the four do you feel had the most talent in the ring as far as a worker?
For a long time, Chavo is the one that, you know, Chavo Sr. had the talent. And, of course, Eddie, man. Eddie just took off, brother. You know, Eddie
amazing.
Took off. And he became, I mean, he was it, man. He was it.
I mean, I as far as Eddie's concerned, I'm talking about before WCW, before WWF, WWE. I mean,
yeah, before any of that,
Chavo. His run with Art Barr was just amazing. Cheap plug for my friend, BobBarnett.com. He has a 3-disc Los Gringos Locos DVD set that is the crown jewel in my collection. It's just amazing stuff. They were so good, you know. And it's a shame that Art left when he did, Eddie, you know, at least Eddie got to wear that strap.
Right.
That wasn't a storyline. You know, we're doing this because of the story. That was a lifetime achievement award for Eddie.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
Eddie, do you have any questions for Mr. Hernandez?
Yeah, I got regarding your time in L.A. I want to know if you worked with a couple of different people here. Did you ever get to work with Chris Adams when he first came into the country?
Yes, I did. I sure did, man. At least once or twice that I remember, for sure.
And
how was
he in the ring back then? Because I know I think L.A. was his first territory in the U.S., if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, because he had just come in from England at the time. This before from here he went to Texas. And I remember one match that I had, he got pissed off at me because I didn't sell his super kick. You know, it was a simple thing that he didn't sell for me. You know, I went for a leg takedown, and this guy would not go down, man. He just would not go down. I said, why, you son of a bitch, you know? I let it slide. He didn't sell for me, so when he went to do that super kick on me, I caught one leg, you know, before he had a chance to shoot the other one, I kicked them right where in the middle, right in the, you know what I'm talking about. I sure did, man. I'm very proud of it because, you know what? He asked, how come you didn't sell my super quick? Brother, how come you didn't sell my leg takedown, man? You know, so simple. You sell for me, I sell for you. That's the way I was taught.
And,
so, I mean, other than that, he was a great guy, though. Great guy.
Did you ever get to, I hope I get the name right, but did you ever get to wrestle the Monster?
Yes. Yes, I got a highlight story on that one, brother. You know, his name was Rodriguez. What the hell? Luis Hernandez. He had a couple of different names. Luis Rodriguez, he was one of them, and then there's something, Hernandez, I guess something like that. But anyway, this guy, when I got to wrestle him as a Friar now, the Friar, you know, usually, you know, especially for Mike LaBelle, you know, I was, you know, used to put guys over and stuff. Well, anyway, so nobody really, you know, nobody will believe this, man, because this one time that I wrestled the Monster in L.A., I went to give him a hip toss, you know, and of course I knew I wasn't going to give him a hip toss, right? But I went through the motion of giving this guy a hip toss. And then he tells me as I'm doing this, he says, pull a little harder. So I pull a little bit harder yet. So I pulled a little bit harder, and that son of a gun took off, man, and landed on his back. He took my hip toss, and I mean, you could hear the people. I mean, it was like everybody stopped breathing for a second, man. Nobody could believe that the Friar had actually given this guy a hip toss. I mean, this guy didn't sell for nobody, man. I mean, he lived that gimmick.
Right.
I mean, you know, he lived that gimmick to, I mean, he believed it, you know, and he even had problems with Andre because Andre didn't want to sell for him, you know. So I can tell you a story where he pulled a gun on him one time.
Please
yeah.
share.
No, I think it happened in, if I remember correctly, in Fresno, you know. He was so pissed off because Andre wasn't selling for him that he pulled the gun out, you know. It's incredible.
Insane. That's
yeah.
insane. One more question, Ed. Go for it.
Yeah.
Eddie, are you there, brother?
Yeah.
Okay, one more, bro.
Okay, and back in the day of kayfabe and, you know, having to be in separate dressing rooms, what was your opinion of the Wrestling Observer and other dirt sheets? And did the wrestlers resent them or did they actually read them?
I think most of the wrestlers read them. No, I don't think anybody really, you know, resented them. I mean, I remember I used to read it, you know, of course. You know? We didn't, I don't remember, at least the people that were around me, they didn't really care too much about, you know, if they had any bad thoughts about it or anything like that. I think some of the guys were reading it back then. I remember I used to read it.
So you since you read The Observer,
mm-hmm.
and I know you know Dave, and you've spoken
yes.
with Dave before,
mm-hmm.
do you still feel that he has credibility?
I think he knows that enough about the business that he does have credibility. He's been around it and written about it so long that, yeah, I feel that he does have a lot of credibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, boss, it
mm-hmm.
was my pleasure having you on again, once again, letting me sit under the learning tree. It would be www.EmpireWrestlingFederation.com. Based out of San Bernardino, Southern California. If you're anywhere, hell, anywhere in the world, and you'd like to be trained properly, hit Jesse up, and he will help you out.
Thank you, brother. Thank
it's
you.
It's all good. Thank you. It was my pleasure again, Jess. Thanks for
coming
on.
Thanks again, guys.
Have you, on
you all have a good day, late. Man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, brother.
Okay, that was Jesse Hernandez. How was that for a short little interview? Ed?
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool, man. That was pretty cool. But what was that noise? Was that like a train or something going by?
Yeah, he was probably outside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't me, dude. That was a train somewhere else.
I didn't know if you had like show any music coming on or like it was Wrestling Observer Live and we're going to commercial.
You know, I miss the old Eotic commercial. Wheat,
oh, the commercial.
Soybeans, and corn. You know, all the old wacky shit. Or,
yeah, dude,
this is my anti-drug.
Anti-drug, and there's Yeah, the anti-drug ones were the funniest ones.
Man, those were great.
Those were great.
There was always one for some kind of warning, and I never knew what the fuck they were talking about, dude.
Trippy. All right, well, we're going to take a Skype caller.
Skype caller, welcome to Rubber Guard Radio. Whom am I speaking with?
Hello?
Yes, welcome to Rubber Guard.
What's up?
Whom am I speaking with?
David.
What's going on, brother? What can I do for you?
I want to pay my respects to Gilchrist, Texas.
Okay, thank you.
They got destroyed by Hurricane Ike.
Okay.
And
that was kind of weird. Okay, I'm not taking this Skype caller again. So, anybody calling in from Skype, you need to change to a cell phone. So, I'm not going to answer any more Skype calls.
Yeah, I had a problem with Skype calls on one show one time. I actually would have gone along with the joke, but I couldn't even hear what the, like this one, like you can't really understand what they're saying, you know. So usually the only real Skype caller that I have now is DC Sniper.
There you go. Well, we're waiting for our next guest to call in. Well,
let's open up the phone lines, 347-215-7946.
If you are a Skype caller, hey, try to call in with a cell, because I'm not going to be taking any Skype calls. So,
let's see what I have on the line here. Okay, call up on the 718. What's up?
Hello?
Yes. Welcome to Rubber Guard.
Hey, what's up?
Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
It's David.
And you're gone, David. Okay.
What?
I would like to welcome to the show, Mr. Vinny V.
That's me, yes.
Vinny.
Okay, good.
Hey, what's up, brother?
I'm fine. How many people are on the show right now?
It's you, Mr. Ed in San Antonio, and myself. Say hi, Ed.
Hey, what's going on?
Ed! What's up, guys?
Just hanging out, brother. A little afternoon show today due to UFC on tonight. So, you know,
oh, yeah, it's on that, isn't it?
Yeah, my sponsors say I have to get in a show every week, so.
Oh, your sponsors. Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. I don't make much, but, it pays the phone bill, it pays for my internet, so.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
There you
so
go.
I called in about 5 minutes ago, and it sounded like you were talking to somebody, so I just hung up. But who was that dude?
Okay. That was Jesse Hernandez.
I should know that name, shouldn't I?
The L.A. area. He's done jobs for WWF, AWA TV. He runs a school down there.
Okay,
in,
cool.
L.A., yeah. He's a good old school promoter.
I see. I heard him telling stories, and it sounded like, you know what, this guy sounds way more entertaining than me. I will just hang up.
Tremendous.
Hey, how's the job search going?
I'm starting to get contacts with people saying, hey, we got your resume. Maybe we should schedule an interview, and that's depressing. So I may be employed again soon, damn it.
Well, if worse comes to worse, you can always go back on the road and start wrestling again.
No, I can't. Because there's no upside to that.
So, how bad was this bump that Chico took?
Which one?
The one that
hurt his back?
Yeah.
Dude, he wasn't taking a bump. He was giving a backdrop.
Oh, shit, he was giving it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Which should tell you about something about how Ken Riley goes up for these things, but...
Who trained him?
I have no idea. Maybe.
I don't think he knows either.
Yeah. He was in Tim Flowers' that company one time, but I have no idea if anyone ever showed him how to wrestle if he just started doing it. He was hanging out with Chris Del Sol for a while, who was Ugh. Most of you are probably saying who. There's a reason for that.
Well, I know Chris, but he's the bad half of the Suicide Kings. Well, I mentioned Suicide Kings.
Oh, that's true.
hey, that's a shoot, brother. Have you ever been in the ring with Matt Farmer?
Surprisingly, no.
Really?
Yeah. When I started, he was doing a lot of shows for Tim Flowers, and then by the time, Tim started me with basically all the other first-year guys, and then by the time I was a third- or fourth-year guy, Matt was gone. Like most guys, he had a falling out with Tim and moved on to whatever else he was doing at the time. It's been a few years, I don't remember, but probably working for Michelle Starr in Canada or any of the dozen or so guys running shows in Oregon. But no, I never wrestled him. Although he wrestled the first match I ever saw Brian wrestle. It was a three-way with Brian, Matt Farmer, and Craig. And I just talked about this on the Brian and Vinny show. But you had Craig Corrosion, who was basically Raven if he was 100 pounds fatter. You had Matt Farmer, who's a good-sized guy in a very old-school heel mask. And then here's Brian Alvarez. At the time, probably weighed 140, and he has, like, sort of page boy haircut tied back in a ponytail, and he is wearing tights and black wrestling shoes. Just the smallest, puniest-looking wrestler you ever saw. And the intros are done, and the match is about to begin, and the ref is checking them, is about to ring the bell, and I hear a fan from way back in the chief seat shout out, "Get the little guy!"
You know, I've seen quite a few Matt Farmer matches, and, you know, he's a solid worker. He's got a really good look, you know, and he knows how to, you know, do the heel shtick. I'm really surprised that, you know, he really hasn't branched out too much.
Well, you have to ask him. I know he loves wrestling like few people I've ever met in my life. He's either my age or I think maybe a little bit older. And he's a guy who will, you know, sit down with a box of stuff from the 70s and just pour into it.
Which I
can't do anymore. There's a time maybe I could have, but for as long as he's been in the business, and anyone who's been in the business any length of time has had to put up with a ton of bullshit. And the fact that he's still around indicates, like I say, he's very passionate about it.
Hey, Vinny, I want to ask you a question about Craig. How good of a worker was Craig?
You know, I didn't see Craig very much before his accident. He was, I don't know, that his look was exactly like I described it. He was Raven from the ECW days, except really big and fat. Also just big. He's taller than me. He's 6'3", maybe. And he's got that Vader body where if he lost all his fat, he would still be big.
Mm.
But I just remember the best match I ever saw him wrestle was against a guy named Fender Gibson, who was doing sort of a honky-tonk knockoff gimmick. And it was a squash that went about 10 minutes, and it was the best squash I ever saw, simply because Fender was constantly either pointing at the crowd and screaming, "Shut up," or just screaming out in pain when Craig hit him. And all Craig had to do was stand there and look big and scary and occasionally punch him. So I do know that every time Brian goes over to Craig's house, Craig will start throwing work punches at him, and Brian will complain, but Brian never bleeds, so he can punch at least.
Well, Vinny, you've said it yourself. You are your own worst critic, okay? Now, honestly, what match do you feel was your best?
I had, I don't know if I had one best match. I had a couple of good ones. There were a couple of smaller guys up here. One guy just called himself Rad. And he was not terribly short. He was probably 5'10 or so, but he was very, very skinny. And he could fly around and do shit and it let me be the big scary guy and him be the tiny flying guy. And I remember just one show we did at a fair, and because it was a fair and the ring was out on the grass, which was much softer to land on than the usual, basketball floor or whatever we would be on. And so he was okay with, knowing he'd be landing on this, he was okay with doing dives over the ropes. And so during his comeback, a roll outside, and he comes with a big flip dive over the ropes, the kind where, you know, he lands, does a somersault, his back lands on me, and I push him over, and he lands on his feet on the grass, so it's a pretty easy thing to do if you can, for the guy doing the flip, if he can pull that off, it's easier for both guys. But I put up both hands to, catch him and break his fall, and he was so light, my arms didn't even bend. Just, put past him right on over me, and over to the floor, and he landed safe, and everything was fine, but God, he was tiny. But, I had a couple of good matches with him. I had a couple of good matches with a guy named Teenage Dirtbag. Just, and good matches just means that, you know, for 8 minutes, the crowd at the fair or the BNI Market parking lot in Tacoma, Washington, or any of these other places, they had a good time, and that's all I really cared about.
Cool. Okay, guys, hold on just a second, Ed. Those that are listening, we're going to play a trivia game. I am going to give away, courtesy of WrestleWarehouse.com, I have a documentary and matches of Blue Demon, documentary and matches of El Hijo del Santo, and I have the Best of Eddie Guerrero in New Japan Volume 1, which was, I think, his tour in 2002, if I remember right. There's some good stuff on this disc. The call-in number is area code 347-215-7946, and here is your trivia question. What gimmick did JBL use when he worked in Mexico? Once again, what gimmick did JBL use when he worked in Mexico? And that's John Bradshaw Layfield for those people that don't pay attention. 347-215-7946. I'd love to give away these free DVDs from my sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com. Okay. So,
I have no idea what the answer to that question is.
Okay. I don't think you would.
I don't win a disc.
I didn't even know he worked in Mexico, to be honest with you.
Yes, he did.
I do vividly remember the anti-Mexico promos he cut when he was feuding with Eddie. Those were awesome.
Yes.
He was doing the border patrol, and he spotted the whole herd of Mexicans.
He threw Rudy Boy Gonzalez into the river. I remember that.
There you go. Now, am I the only one that thinks that he's physically done? That Bradshaw should hang it up and go back to commentating?
No. I think that's the consensus. He's his back is still screwed up. He's a guy who's never going to win Mr. Olympia, but he's fatter than he used to be, and he can't do much about it because his back is screwed up, and he's doing some crazy things. I mean, during the street fight he had with Cena, he was taking bumps on the ramp and stuff, I think he's for sure done as a main eventer.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much done. I mean, why, you know, he should not have came back. I think he's a really fun commentator, and, you know, it kind of bothered me that he came back, and, you know, just really shouldn't have been done. But spoiler alert, guys, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. Last night, TNA was taping, and Foley, he didn't show up, but they showed him up on the big screen, so he's going to be working with Angle. So that's going to be kind of interesting. What do you think about Foley going to TNA there, Vince?
Well, hopefully they'll let him cut some good promos, but that's the extent of it. Who cares who's in TNA? It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
They're still going to produce shitty television. They're still going to produce feuds that don't make sense and pay-per-views where the lead attraction is going to be who's going to interfere. And it's that way more often than not, and it's not going to change anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's to the point where, you know, I DVR it, and I watch certain workers. You know what I mean? It's not like I follow any specific company. I will, to see Evan Bourne in ECW or the Machine Guns, they have Christian and AJ. So that's going to be fun. But,
you know the match will go 6 minutes and 3 minutes will be a commercial, so who cares?
Yeah, true. Now, Vince, what did you think of the X Cup this year? Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes. I forgot they did win it first, but because they've, of course, done zero follow-up on it. But, no, it was a lot of fun. I do remember they actually did give guys some time, not as much as I would like, but I remember reading an Ultimo Guerrero interview where he was like, man, these matches are short. no, it was a lot of fun. Ultimo Guerrero is one of my favorite guys on the planet Earth, and he has, every company has my permission to book him on every show. And his team with Rey Bucanero is awesome. Bucanero on his own, from what I've seen, is not nearly as fun as he is when he's teaming with Ultimo. I don't know if that's because he's better as a heel, or if they just have such great chemistry together, or what. But like I say, Ultimo Guerrero is one of my favorite workers on the planet. Rey Bucanero is awesome with him. Alex Kozlov, also very fun, but yeah, that was a very fun deal, and the X Division guys who they have, like the Machine Guns, and don't usually get to do much, did. So yeah, that was a major thumbs up.
You said as far as follow-up, there actually has been follow-up. Unfortunately, it's all been on the CMLL side and not on the TNA side.
Did you,
well, yeah,
Vince, did you get a chance to see the Cibernetico from Arena Mexico with the TNA guys?
No.
Okay, that was fun stuff. Ed, you saw that when I sent you the disc.
Yeah,
that was fun, man.
That was fantastic. That was absolutely fantastic. And
was that one of those deals where it starts off with like 20 guys and then it gets pared down to two?
Yes.
Yeah, those are awesome.
And they had Kozlov and Marco Corleone on with the TNA guys, and I hadn't seen Jindrak since he left the WWE, where he was just, you know, basically an average wrestler of size and appearance. And seeing him in this match, he looked like freaking Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And he had to put on a six-pump.
He is like 6'7", or whatever he is, and he's working with a bunch of guys who are significantly under 6 feet. So, yeah, and as I understand, still hitting that giant dive off the ramp. So, I remember about, well, it must have been like a decade ago now, but there was a rumor going around that Scott Hall was going to show up at an ECW show. And he never did. But I remember thinking, like, God, he's going to look like a fucking ogre on that show. He has Scott Hall at 6'7", and like Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman right around 6 feet tall, and no one else even close. And sadly, he never did.
Hmm. Okay, coming up on the 19th, Arena Mexico, the 75th anniversary for CMLL. I'm not going to run down all the matches, but the main event in a mask match, Blue Panther against Viano 5, which Blue Panther's money. And in the semi for the CMLL Trios title, we have Atlantis, Negro Casas, and Ultimo Guerrero, the champions, defending against Sanjay Dutt, Chris Sabin, and Alex Shelley. Money.
The Sanjay, huh? Actually, that Sanjay would probably be really good, but
well, Sanjay kept up, you know, in the Cibernetico. He kept up, and you know, he's him and his back knee, but that's gross.
Yeah. There's a lot of gross wrestlers these days between his back and JBL's fuzz and I don't know what else, but there's a looking good used to be important, you know.
I think Sanjay Dutt actually has more back acne than Scorpio Jr., which is saying so.
Man, that's just rank nasty. Vinny, do you still do tape reviews for the newsletter?
I do. I don't really know why.
Okay. Now,
I've been watching old Memphis stuff lately.
Oh, boy. There you go. Now,
well,
what I'm going to do is I am going to send you a two-disc set of Rey Bucanero and Ultimo Guerrero.
Okay.
And I would love for you to do a very nice review.
As opposed to a poor review?
Well, I'll tell you, there's not one match under 3 stars on the whole set.
I mean,
you know, there's a match with Kaz Hayashi and Ultimo Dragon, which is just blow away, you know, just amazing. Ed, did I send you the Guerrero set?
No, but I think I just got the stuff that's like from Tijuana today.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Vinny, I just sent Ed a 3-disc set of Psychosis, which has got a bunch of different stuff. And then a Mexico.
Does it have any of the stuff he did with the Familia de Tijuana with Halloween and
yes.
Damien? Yes, yeah. that should have ruled. I'm also a giant Halloween fan. So.
Oh, wow, really? I also sent Ed it's a single disc Mexico's Most Wanted set, which is it's, you know, Halloween and Damien, and it's got a lot of lucha. There's, I think, one or two WCW matches. There's some XPW matches, and there's a match with them against the Aerial Express, Quicksilver and Scorpio Sky, which is just off the charts. I'll have to send that to you, too. I got to get you a package, Vinny. Since you have time, you can, you know, you can catch up on some really good lucha.
You know, it's astounding how I've been unemployed for 5 weeks now, maybe six, and it's amazing how often I find myself too busy to do shit. I've decided that work is a waste of time. I have better things to do with my life. I have not been able to find time to do all the fun things I want to do, let alone, you know, have an actual job.
There you go. There you go. Okay, once again, guys, I'd love to give away these three DVDs courtesy of WrestleWarehouse.com. The call-in number is 347-215-7946. And the question is, what gimmick did JBL use when he toured and worked in Mexico? But
Rey Mysterio Sr.
No. Actually,
no.
You know what? You know, it's funny that you mentioned Rey Sr. He is still going.
Nice.
Strong.
Well, dude, Mil Máscaras is still going.
But, you know, Mil just does, you know, spot here, spot here. But Rey Sr., you know, he's just pulling shit out. I mean, he's working, you know, at least once a month in San Diego. He's teaming with his son, you know, Io, who's
right.
Like 19, and they're exceptional. You know, and Rey's still doing it.
Is Satanico still wrestling?
Satanico? Yes, he is.
Because I have not watched Lucha regularly in a few years, but he was old then, but he was still awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just growing his hair back again, so.
After his annual buzz.
Yeah, I think he leads the league in, you know, hair match losses or something. But now, let's talk a little football. What happened to your Seagulls on Sunday?
The wide receiver core all died. If you want a job as a NFL player, I think they're hiring right now. They're signing rejects and guys who have, well, they just signed Corin Robinson, who drank his way out of town 4 years ago and played three unremarkable years in Minnesota and Green Bay, during which he was arrested for public drunkenness again. I believe it was public drunkenness. I was arrested. I may have been a DUI. But regardless, this is a guy who's passed to call it checker to be very, very, very charitable. And they have no choice but to bring in guys like this now and hitch their wagon to him and pray.
Mm-hmm.
Their top six wide receivers are all injured, many of them out for the year.
It's bad. Now,
I want an honest
hold on just a second, Ed. I want an honest answer, okay? Vinny, because I am a diehard Niner fan. You know, I'm from the Bay Area. Now, honestly, what did you think of JT O'Sullivan as a quarterback this past Sunday? How did he?
Yeah, I watched him last week. I watched him the prior week against Arizona. He's okay. He's not. He's better than anyone Chicago has, I think. Maybe better than anyone in Minnesota. So I don't think he's the problem in San Francisco. I don't know, well, right now they're 1-1. I don't know how big the problem necessarily have, but I guess we'll see how that turns out by the end of the year. But he seems to be okay. And I kind of joked about it at first that Mike Martz called him the best quarterback he's ever had. I'm sure that's in his heart of hearts that's bullshit. But Mike Martz knows quarterbacks and he knows how to make them play better. And you know, Kurt Warner was the Arena League guy who bagged groceries before Mike Martz got a hold of him. And, of course, Kurt Warner also played with Marshall Faulk and Torrey Holden and Orlando Pace and Isaac Bruce. So that had a lot to do with it as well. Last I checked, the Niners don't have any of those. Wait, actually, the Niners do have Isaac Bruce.
Isaac Bruce.
It's the 2008 Isaac Bruce, which is not quite the same.
Now, I think that next year they're going to have an overpriced backup in Alex Smith. I think he's completely overrated. And I think this is O'Sullivan's job. It's his job to lose.
I think they're fine. They'll find a way to get rid of Smith. I don't think he'll be sitting around making $10 million here.
Talk about a waste of a fucking number one pick.
Well, I mean, they're not guaranteed. David Carr washed out. Tim Couch washed out. I guess you have to see Michael Vick washed out now, obviously.
Yeah, no shit.
To a historical degree. I just read, I believe he's currently making 12 cents a day sweeping floors. So,
talk about being humbled.
He has been humbled.
Vinny, your Super Bowl picks, unfortunately, are having injury problems. In regards to the Patriots, as soon as Brady went down, everyone said the Patriots are done. They are a very well-coached team, and I don't know a lot about their backup quarterback, but do you think they're done, or do you think there's still a chance that they can still make the playoffs and still be successful this year?
I think they're far from done. I don't think they're the favorites anymore, obviously. But kind of the whole point of this offseason with the Brett Favre fiasco and, oh, the Packers are doomed, all this stuff is kind of the point is the quarterback is one guy out of 53, and he's the most important guy, but, he's still just one guy. And the Patriots still have Randy Moss. They still have Wes Welker. They still have Lawrence Maroney. They still have the offensive line, which is really good for 17 games last year. They still have Richard Seymour. They still have Ty Warren. And they still have questionable linebackers and a questionable secondary. But it's not like they went from 16-0 to, you know, the Cardinals. So the deal with Matt Castle is pretty much the same as it is with Aaron Rodgers. As long as he is okay, the team is going to win 11 or more games and make the playoffs. Plus, their schedule is so easy. It's amazing how it worked out. But they have their own division, which includes the really, 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 really horrible Miami Dolphins, the improved Jets, but the Patriots just beat them. The Bills have actually looked – I didn't see much – in fact, I didn't see any of the Jacksonville game, but I've been – I watched the Seattle game, and the Bills look way better than they used to be. They're a very young team, and young teams tend to improve quickly. I don't have any study or facts to back that up, but it seems logical. And then they get to play the NFC West, which includes the horrible Niners, the horrible Seahawks, the god-awful St. Louis Rams, and the Cardinals, who look at best mediocre. So, you know, that's 10 games, and they should at worst win 8 of them. So if they go 8-2 in that spread, if they split the other six games, that's 11 wins, and you know, who knows.
Now, you mentioned the Cardinals, okay? Now, they have all the talent in the world. Do you think it's bad coaching? Do you think they need a strong coach with a strong coordinator? Because they have all the talent in the world.
No, they don't.
Oh,
in fact, vehemently disagree with that statement. They have two outstanding receivers. They have a rookie running back, Tim Hightower, who's looked good so far. Then they have a quarterback who's, well, you know, their current quarterback is the guy who got cut by the Rams and the Giants 4 years ago. They gave up on this guy. And their backup quarterback is a guy who couldn't beat that guy out for a job. So I don't think Matt Leinart's that good, apparently. He's had 3 years now to get something done, and he has failed. And Warner's, he's an accurate passer. He's not a horrible quarterback by any means, but he's a guy who still holds the ball too long, takes way too many sacks, and when he does get sacked a lot, he sometimes will fall apart. So their offensive line is okay. They have some defensive playmakers. Adrian Wilson is just a complete stud. That guy's awesome. Talent-wise, they're no better than at least half the teams in the NFL, but most of the AFC. They are fortunate they play in the NFC, so they could the big fish in a small pond, they may get into the playoffs that way, but they're not that good.
One more football question, Ed, and then we're going to switch it up.
Okay. After two games, where do you see the Cowboys? What's your opinion of the Cowboys right now?
Well, they're real good.
Yeah.
I don't have any great secrets there. They're you know, Philadelphia and Dallas are probably right now the two best teams in the NFC. The Giants, the way they've played so far, they play the horrible Rams and the Redskins, who I'm not sure how good they're going to be when all is said and done. But the Giants have looked really good. So, yeah, the top three teams in the conference may well all be in the NFC East. But, yeah, Cowboys, they were probably going to be my second. I picked Seattle to make the Super Bowl. That looks like a no-go. So, right now, I probably have to say Dallas is the favorite.
Do you think the defense is good enough?
Yes.
Good. Good enough for what? To win a Super Bowl? We saw the Colts win the Super Bowl 2 years ago with the worst run defense in football. So, you know, weird things happened. We saw the Giants win last year with a defense that was okay throughout the year. They were the top sacking team, but their defense as a whole was not dominant. And their offense during the regular season was bad. So it's to the point now where nothing is certain until the games are played, until all the final whistles are done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We're gonna switch it up to MMA.
Okay. I got about 5 more minutes. Then I got to split.
Okay. Cool. Tonight is the fight night, Vinny, and the main event: Josh Neer against Big Head Diaz, and then the semi is Max Danzig against my boy Clay Guida. Which fight do you think is going to steal the show?
Well, Clay Guida never has boring fights, so there you go.
Amen. Now, we were running down the card earlier, and I mentioned that I think that the winner of the semifinal tonight and the main event should fight on the next fight night to move up to the upper echelon in lightweights. What do you think about that idea?
I don't know. this is not my area of expertise. Who is it again? Danzig and Guida?
Yes.
And then Nate Diaz and some guy, Josh somebody or other.
Josh Neer, yeah.
I don't know who that is. But are they all, what weight division are these guys in?
55.
So they're champ. Oh, well. Yeah, me as well. I don't think it matters. Enough of them are beating GSP. So, UFC, there's only like 8 fighters in that company I really care about, and it's the champions and like the other guys. And everyone else, this is why I've complained that, you know, I'm used to sports like the NFL or baseball or basketball, where I can look at the standings, I can see, okay, this team is ranked here, that team is ranked here, I know who has to beat who to get stuff, you know, who has to beat who to advance in the standings and where each guy is relative to each other. In UFC, it's all nebulous, and it largely doesn't even matter. It's whoever's hot, whoever's won, like, 2 fights in a row and is exciting, and that's the guy who's going to get the title shot. So, you know, I wish there was a more solid ranking system so it wasn't so subjective, but there's nothing I can do about it. So it's just a bunch of fights. That's all fight nights ever are.
Cool. All right. Well, Vince, thanks for calling in. It was a fun little afternoon chat. If you want to hear more from Vinny of on the air or reading, that would be f4wonline.com.
WrestlingObserver.com.
WrestlingObserver.com.
That also works. Go to all of them.
Now, before you go, I have to ask your honest feelings on the merger. Positive or negative?
Gigantically positive. Hugely positive. My
now,
schedule is...
Let's work, or is that because you're actually making more money out of it?
Both. I'm not sure on the whole on doing less. Well, I'm doing less work, but that's because Ultimate Fighter wasn't on since like the merger started. It's coming back, so I'll be doing the same amount of work. Although I am watching way more TV at home now, which is easier because for some reason I don't have to drive over to Brian's. Friday nights I can do whatever I want to. And I am getting more money. So, yeah, it's better in every way.
There it is. All right. Once again, f4wonline.com or wrestlingobserver.com or vinnyisagoober.com. Mr. Verhey, thank you for your time, brother.
Whoop, whoop.
All right. We will be talking to you very soon. Thanks, Vinny.
See ya.
All right, brother. Okay. Well, that was Vince Verhey.
Oh, we also have
there
to
you go.
We have to throw in a plug for Anchor, man. Verhey, .info.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Hey, I told everybody that this was going to be a potpourri edition, man. We got everybody, top to bottom, bunch of different people. Now, since JBL was the trivia question, I'm going to ask you, do you know who trained him?
Oh, you know what? I should know this. I know Scott Casey trained Booker.
Wasn't
Booker
Scott Casey?
Since they came in around the same time.
You are wrong.
Damn.
You are way off, Ed.
Who trained him then? I don't know who did it. I probably should.
Brad Rangins.
Brad Rangins? That's actually, I wouldn't think that because, you know, usually Brad Rangins is the guy who trained the more, like, you know, technical wrestlers and stuff. JBL doesn't really fall into that category. So, yeah, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, I never would have either. You know, I'm looking at his profile here. I'm like, what, Brad Rangins? What the fuck? Well, I'm going to ask the question once again. This is the last time. The call-in number is area code 347-215-7946. I want to give you three DVDs from my sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com. Actually, you know what? If you call in and get it right, I will throw in a John Cena t-shirt. And the question is, when JBL would tour Mexico and work Mexico, what was his gimmick? Okay.
Let me ask you a question about JBL, KZ.
Sure.
Okay, there was for quite a while, there was quite a bit of internet Bradshaw hate going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it's funny. I think I've always thought that was funny because a few months before that, or a little time before that, when he was doing the APA, he was the darling of the internet because everyone loved the APA. And what do you think made everyone just totally like do a 180 on Bradshaw? Do you think it was all that shit that little shit that went down in Germany, or do you think it was? What do you think it was? Because I mean, he really did go from being super popular to being super X-Pac heat. I guess is the best way to describe it. Do you think it was because of the big push when he went they started doing the JBL gimmick, or what do you think it was?
Okay, well when they broke up the APA and he went, you know, the JBL character, he wasn't fun anymore. We lost that entertainment value.
But the JBL character was so great. I mean, it took a while for people to get into it, but I thought it was good from when he started doing it.
I thought when he started doing the JBL character, it was a plain and simple in-ring ripoff of Stan the Lariat Hansen. But that's just me. I mean, it's obvious who influenced him. It's very obvious, Brody and Hansen and, you know, those type of big brawlers. But I don't know. You know, it's JBL, the character wasn't fun. Like the APA, you know, sitting there, you know, in the office, you know, playing cards and all that shit. That stuff was funny. That was entertaining. You know, and there's nothing on TV now other than Santino that is really catching people like that entertainment-wise. You know, there isn't an Al Snow character. You know, there isn't, you know, the APA. There isn't Crash Holly running around with the hardcore title. There isn't anything fun. But that, you know, that's just my opinion, you know. What do you think?
I don't know. I think it was just maybe a resentment to the big push. And I guess that's also when the stories about him becoming a bully started to come out. So maybe that had a lot to do with it. You know, him taking liberties or turning people on the back and, you know, just kind of being an asshole. So maybe that had something to do with it. But I just thought it was weird, you know, the way everyone, because it wasn't just like something that happened over time. It was just like overnight, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't help himself when he started insulting, like, the smart marks and stuff like that and stuff. So he didn't help his cause at all there, too. So it's also something.
I have to agree. Well, since none of the trolls are going to call in and try to win these DVDs, I'm going to ask the question one more time. I'm going to let you try and answer it. Ed, what gimmick did JBL use when he worked Mexico?
Like I said, I don't even remember. I didn't even know that he worked in Mexico, so I'm going to go with freaking Border Patrol.
Good guess, but his tag team partner was Vampiro Canadias, the Canadian vampire, and he was called Vampiro Americano.
See, I don't even remember that. I guess I just missed that when that was going on. I guess it was on EMLL when they weren't on TV, when AAA was big.
Yep.
Yeah, so I totally missed that. Because, I remember Van Fear and everything back when he first started. He was actually pretty bad when he first started. He just had such a cool gimmick. He's really improved. He's leaps and bounds compared to when he started.
We brought up Vampiro. I love his work. I love all his shoot interviews that he's done with Bob Barnett and all this other stuff. Hey, Big D, what's your opinion on Vampiro as a worker? Do you like watching him?
I'm back online.
You are back on the line, sweetie.
Damn, you should have told me. I'm just here listening. No, I wanted to say I thought JBL's gimmick in Mexico was Grande Tetas, but I guess not. Vampiro, I've seen him in WCW. I've seen him in, whatchamacallit, with the Wrestling Society X. I haven't seen too much of his Mexican work. I know I've seen him in AAA with Conan recently, and I heard he's God down there, so.
Okay, let me make a note. Hold on just a second, guys. Let me make a note here. Make custom DVDs for Ed and Big D of Vampiro. There it is.
Is this Mexican Vampiro?
Yes. No, he's Canadian that works in Mexico.
No, I know, but I'm saying you're going to give us Mexican. I gotcha. Because I've seen his WCW shit.
And also California indie lucha stuff too, which is kind of wacky.
What years were these from? That year that you have, like, or you have everything all years?
I have from 2000. I have some of his XPW stuff. I have before that. I have a bunch of Vamp stuff. But
awesome.
So, Ed, do you have any opinions on Mr. Vampiro?
Yeah, I've always liked Vampiro. I mean, it's always been a great gimmick, and he's had a great look. I want to know, though, in any of those Bob Barnett shoot interviews, does he explain why he cut off his hair and didn't get a 20 grand payoff for it?
No, he never explained it. And he hasn't done a shoot in a while.
Yeah, that's one of the dumbest things that, I mean, I love Vampiro, but honestly, that is one of the dumbest things in the history of mankind. I mean, that hair was part of his gimmick and part of his look for such a long time. He would have made 20 grand, 25 grand. Well, I don't know if they make that much, but I'm assuming it would have been a major payoff that he just kind of just let fly away in the wind. You know, I don't know why he did that. I mean, I don't think he was thinking straight on that day.
Hey, you guys remember the debut MLW show in the ECW Arena, right? Genesis, where they had the 8-man tournament for the title that changed.
I never saw the show, but I do remember I do remember hearing about it. Yeah.
A little before that show, Vampiro, took some time off before, coming up to Philly to work that, and he was pretty much not heard from or anything, and he comes in, he looks like a fucking guardian, a guardian angel. With his haircut, and I was like, dude, what the fuck? I mean, Ed's right. I mean, he could have made some fucking money in Arena Mexico. I mean, they could have packed the fucking bull ring. They could have did him and Santo, mask first hair, where Vampiro's so over, you could even, suspend your disbelief and even think that, Santo could lose his mask because he was that over, and he didn't do it. He didn't get the fucking payday. And he's done it a few times. That's fucking lame.
Would you compare it to Jericho coming back with the John Bon Jovi haircut and the faggoty keychain? Their wall chain?
Yes.
Damn,
yes.
that must have been bad.
Jericho's new look is fucking harsh, man. Those tights are gay. But I have to say, though, Michaels has elevated him. Michael's
well,
dead
yeah, well,
by
that's,
hand. And,
what an awesome what feud, man. That's going to – I mean, I didn't expect them to continue it. What?
Well, it ain't over.
No, I know. I know.
It's not over. And
yeah,
I
didn't think they'd continue.
I'm thinking about working for WrestleMania. I hope somehow, some way they keep this going to WrestleMania.
What I did earlier in the show, the beginning of the show, I mentioned my booking plans as far as if I were booking it, I would have Michaels win the ladder match. Win the belt, And he fends off Jericho. Jericho wins the Rumble, goes to Mania, and Michaels and Michaels and Jericho headline WrestleMania for the title.
I would actually do it the opposite way. I would have Jericho go over and have Sean chase him. That way Sean has a chance to win the title in Texas. And if he was to win it in Houston, I mean, the pop for that would be out of this world.
That's a good point.
Now, check this out. Would you have Michaels win the Rumble or one of those bullshit elimination chambers?
I think you could have the SmackDown guy win the Rumble this year since the Raw guys won it so many times, man. Yeah, I'd have Sean get the contender spot some other way, you know, honestly, because you could have the SmackDown guy win the Rumble.
I hate that shit. I hate that fucking elimination chamber because it makes the Rumble look like, you know, okay, you can win either, you know, beat out 29 other guys or beat out 5.
It doesn't have to be the chamber. It could be some other match. It could be a tournament. Whatever.
No, that's what they're doing. That's what it is now. No Way Out is the elimination chamber with the winner going to WrestleMania against their brand champion.
Well, they had two chambers. They had two chambers last year. Are you saying they're gonna have two again or just one?
Maybe two. One for a title shot and the other with the ECW strap, maybe.
I'm not a big fan of that, to be honest with you.
I'm not a fan of the match.
I love the match, but you do it once a year and that's it. Or maybe once every 2 years.
You don't do two on one show. That was the problem with the scramble. You have three scrambles, and as bad as the idea of the scramble was, you don't need to have three of them. If you're going to have a badass match that means something, you definitely don't do it more than once on the same fucking show.
Remember, back in the day, though, in the NWA, they have a double main event with two cages? So I guess it worked back then.
Well, yeah, because they were big programs and everything was built to the cage.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
I mean,
that was the whole thing.
It's not like you're putting six faggots in a cage for a fucking title shot. I'd rather have a six-way ladder match. That makes more sense.
Oh, we haven't seen one of those in a while. What about the Armageddon Hell in a Cell?
The six or whatever it was?
No, we only did it one time, yeah. It was six-man Hell in a Cell.
Cool. You know what? Well, we're going to switch it up a little bit. I got up kind of early this morning, and I've been in a tag team wrestling type of Jones, and I didn't want to watch the typical Midnight Express, Rock and Roll Express, or Road Warrior stuff. I wanted to look at some indie stuff, and I have a DVD set, Omega, Uncommon Passion. It's with the Hardys and
all
those other
guys.
And there was a match on there. It was the Serial Thrillers, which was Mike Maverick. I forget. I think he may have been one of the Dupps. And Shane Helms against the Hardys. And this match just blew me the fuck away. It's in the top 10 of the Death Valley Jiver 90s indies voting or whatever it is. And it's just blow away shit that you just don't see on indies anymore. Big D, you hit FIP, and you see a lot of tag stuff,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Ed, do you hit many indies at all, or...?
To be honest with you, I haven't been to an indie show since Shawn Michaels' little thing closed down.
TWA, huh?
Yeah.
TWA must have been awesome, though.
Oh, man. That stuff was good.
Yeah, actually, it was, man. It was pretty good. It was. I actually went to two of them. I went to the one where they brought in Just Incredible to fight Venom, and then I also went to one where, unfortunately, they had a cool setup at this nightclub. And then they fucking switched over to this fucking YMCA with no fucking air conditioner, and it fucking sucked. But at that first YMCA show, they had they brought in Hardcore Holly, D'Lo Brown, and S.A. Rios and Lita, and they had a damn good match with S.A. and D'Lo against fucking Danielson and Spanky. Man, they fucking just tore it up. And then they had a Holly. It's funny, they had Holly wrestle another guy that was part of the class. He ended up retiring, Shooter Schultz. And
he was
Bob
good.
Holly, yeah, he was good. But it was one of those ones where kind of like that tough in the, what do you call it, It's kind of like the Matt Capelli incident where he just fucking he roughed him up and he made him pay his dues in the match. I mean, he didn't like bloody him up, but he was hitting him hard, man. He was hitting him real hard.
Now, Ed, I'm not sure if I sent you the match, but I know I sent Big D the match from Memphis with Brian Danielson and William Regal.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
What,
yeah, that was,
what did you think of that match, D?
I thought it was fun to watch. It was more fun to watch because I'm familiar with the two guys and I knew what they'd go on to be. I liked it. I thought it was funny how Danielson played a white meat. I mean, that was like the whitest meat, and that's because he's pale. Baby face I've ever seen, man. And Regal, of course, you know. Is it just me, or has Regal become stiffer in recent years? Like, back then, he didn't seem like he was that stiff. He was just a snug worker. Nowadays, he's breaking guys' noses every night.
No, he's what Regal now is what I like to call an HD worker. He knows it's an HD. So he's laying it in.
Ah, good point. That overlooked me. I never even thought of that.
I copyright that phrase, HD worker. So that's mine. Anybody uses it, I'm going to sue you. Just like that dude from James in Kentucky. Dynamite Dave. There you go, Ed. I got a chuckle from Ed. Oh, my God, I miss the E-Ada days. Don't you, Ed?
Oh yeah, dude, that show was awesome, man. And plus, they didn't go to commercial every goddamn 5 minutes like they do for Sports Byline. They didn't take that big ass one in the middle of the show. So, and then they had Al. And then they had Al running the show, so Al fucking knew how to run the program. I mean, the producer they got now, he's a nice guy and all, but Jesus Christ, dude. I mean, it's no lie when they say that can is put together with fucking cans and a string, dude. So.
Yeah, you were talking about tag team wrestling. Yeah, you didn't finish. Hello?
What was that?
I don't know. Is everybody still here?
I'm here. KZ, are you here? I guess we lost KZ.
How can we lose KZ if it's his show? What the fuck?
It happened on my show, dude. I got disconnected one time when I had a Vinny and Teach Machine, and they didn't even know I was gone until I came back and told them. So I guess we're still logged on, but I guess he got thrown off.
That doesn't make any sense. So when the host gets booted off, doesn't that like boot everybody off?
Apparently not. Like I say, it happened on my show. So it actually happened twice on my show where they weren't booted off until I called back. So. I guess
weird.
Speaking of tag teams, I brought up this point earlier that unfortunately it seems like everybody only remembers shit up to like Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, and there's all these tag teams from the early 80s that were badass, like Ricky Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, Ole Anderson, Ivan Koloff, and you know, it's all these awesome teams, but because they didn't have a pretty flashy name like the Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, that they're not, no one remembers them. And do you have any, is there like an old tag team that you think is just totally awesome that doesn't get any respect or credit that they deserve?
I don't know, man. Demolition, I think, gets slept on way too much. People always think that they're a bunch of LOD copycats. Whatever, dude. I loved watching those fuckers work when it was just Action Smash. See, I was a WWF kid. I didn't get into NWA until a little bit after I got into WWF. That was like my first thing. But that's why I'm saying that team. Because, yeah, man, everybody always writes them off as a bunch of LOD wannabes. KZ, are you back? I guess not. Ed, are you there? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I think it had that had a lot to do with Demolition. That a lot of people consider them LOD imitators, but they were probably more famous nationally because of the WWE. It's just the hardcores, prefer the LOD. But as far as like the ring work, I mean, we're talking about the fucking mass superstar. I mean, he was like a major, major fucking player before he joined Demolition. So it's not like it was just two jabronis. No. I don't think anyone knew that, I don't know if it was Action Smash, but that one of them was the Masked Superstar. And then you had Crusher Khrushchev, as the other one. I mean, they were, yeah, two very competent, good fucking wrestlers that have been around for a long time. And, yeah, they were a damn good team. They beat the crap out of, I don't know how many fucking other teams in the WWE. They were pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I think that they were much better workers than the LOD. I mean, LOD was good, like, for squashing people, but when it came to having good matches, unless they were in there with, like, the Horsemen, it really wasn't that good, because Tully and Arnie would bump for them like crazy. But Demolition, those matches they had with the Hart Foundation, SummerSlam 90, I think SummerSlam 88, there, I still remember those matches, especially the one from 1990, because that had one of the best finishes ever. It was that 2 out of 3 falls match. And then they started the LOD Demolition feud, which could have been really big, and then it never got big, because I guess they didn't push it enough. Actually, I think Mass Superstar left. I think Axe left, and we were left with Crush and Smash, and that didn't really work out.
Yeah, it sucked.
Brian Adams.
Sorry, guys. I had technical issues with my phone.
We were wondering what happened. We were afraid we were going to cut off here. All right. Great.
No, no.
You didn't even notice you were gone, Casey, to be honest.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up. I got about 9 minutes, but we're going to wrap up early because I have to go pick up my son from school. So, Big D, you're first. What do you got?
All right. Well, no show tonight. Like we said earlier, about 2 hours ago, my next show's next Wednesday at 11 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com/emperor_big_D. No plans right now for the show. I don't really think about it till, like, you know, I'm kind of lazy, man. I don't think about what I'm going to do on the show till a few days prior, unless somebody gives me an idea. So we'll see. Just tune in. It'll be good, I promise. It's the most wackiest show right now out there that still makes a lot of sense.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. All right, Ed, shoot out your plug real quick.
Okay, well, I have to disagree on got the wackiest shows.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. I'm sorry. Ed's show is wackier, but mine is like more like a different kind of wacky. Ed's show is wackier because usually it's, you know, well, you go ahead. And I'm not going to plug your show for you.
Everyone needs to check out the Drunk Cast on Blog Talk Radio on Friday nights at 10 o'clock. Six o'clock in the West, and I was going to try and get Brian Fritz, but I think I'm going to hold him over. I think I might have some other stuff going on, but we'll definitely be talking about the UFC show and other stuff. You can join me and the Pete's Machine, and you can also download the show from angrymarks.com, and yeah, everyone check it out Friday night.
Hey, Ed, this Friday, could you and I both review one of those Psychosis discs?
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Which one would you like to do?
I haven't even opened up the package, man, so I guess I can tomorrow.
Okay, well, you still have the match listing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You let me know which one you want to watch, and then I'll watch it too, and we'll review it in like 20 minutes.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Cool. All right, Eddie. Thanks for coming on, brother. I appreciate it. It was a fun show, and I'll be talking to you very soon.
Okay, cool, man. Y'all take it easy, man. Bye-bye.
All right, brother. Okay, that was Big D and Ed in San Antonio, and I am on the line with my sponsor, Mr. Jeff Dino. What's up, Jeffrey?
Mr. Zombie, I would have called him a lot sooner, but I was against what other people say. San Diego promoters don't work together. I was on the phone with a fellow promoter, trying to figure out some shows. So that took a little longer than I expected. But I caught the last few minutes of Rubber Guard, at least on the phone.
Tremendous.
I was listening all the whole time.
Well.
But I know you're now, in the show, so real quick, we had a show on Saturday.
Yeah. No. We're not shutting down yet, brother. We're not shutting down yet. I want to hear about your show. Let's break it down.
What time do you have until? When's the show cutting off?
The stream will cut off in 5 minutes, but we will still be recording. So I'd say about 10.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, if anybody out there listening has not seen or heard of SoCal Pro Wrestling, there's a video up online right now, which will give you probably the best way to get an idea of what we've got to offer down here in San Diego. Just go ahead and go to the website, SoCalProWrestling.com. That's the website. Click on events. There's a music video up from our show from this past Saturday. Check it out. If you live around here, come to the next show. Our next show is on October 11th.
Okay, for those fans that, you know, what the hell with SoCal, for any wrestling fans, a week from tomorrow, next Thursday, we're going to have former NWA champion Scrap Iron Adam Pearce on the show. Mr. Pearce has a big announcement. He's kayfabing me. He's not telling me a thing, but we are going to have the champ on next Thursday. So I have no idea what he's got on his mind. So he requested time. So whenever I can fit the champ in, I will gladly do it. Speaking of Pearce, did he work this past show?
Yes, he did.
Who did he work?
It was a tag team match. It was the final TNT Championship Gauntlet challenge with SoCal Crazy and Tommy Wilson. And they defeated Adam Pearce and Jason Redondo.
Was it a good match?
It was a good match. The whole show was great all around.
Well, let's start from the curtain jerker. Who opened it up?
Curtain jerker. The opening match was Mr. Petty Officer Ryan Stone. He defeated Locura, which was a great match. Second one, right after those guys, was Johnny Goodtime and Scott Lost, which everybody loved that match. A lot of people are saying that was the match of the night.
Really? Well, that's good. That's good to see that. It's good to see that Scott worked for you again. Scott is he's a top-tier guy, in Southern California. He's just fucking awesome. Babyface, heel, tweener, doesn't matter. That guy can fucking go. And, Johnny Goodtime's no slouch. He was trained by the Ballards. So.
Anything with Johnny Goodtime is good.
There, good time with Johnny?
You know it.
And next up,
it was supposed to be Cool Imagery, Ricky Mandel and Hector Canales against the Ballard Brothers, which is supposed to be a best of three series for the tag titles, which have been held up. Ballard's no-showed, and they were filled in by Dustin Cutler and Sonny Samson.
They no-showed?
The Ballards decided not to show up. They did not want to listen to the commissioner and him stripping them of the belt, so they decided not to show up.
And then what was next?
Next was Chimera against the rock and roll rebel soul, Johnny Yuma.
Yes. Mr. Yuma...
Which you're a fan of?
Keep up with Chimera.
It was a great, great match. The full match is up on the website, SoCalProWrestling.com.
Ooh.
Full matches up. Go ahead, go to the bottom, click videos. There it is.
Awesome.
So check out that video. You can see the full match and also the music video from the show. And then there was our main event that we already said. It was a great show. Great show. So definitely check out the website. Look at this. We're going to be done before 2 o'clock.
Nope, because we're going to talk about LLII the day after. Was there a show?
There was no show. I was on the phone with the man of LLII, and it's still in the works for the next show. So just kind of keep checking online.
Cool.
You'll be able to get more information on that.
Yeah. Earlier in the show, I had Jesse Hernandez on from the EWF, and we were just talking, and we brought up Rey Mysterio, and I talked about, he's still going at a high level. And he's still a draw. I mean, he drew 1,700 up here, which is amazing because we don't draw too well up here. But him and his boy are, a hell of a team. What do you think about using them, in SoCal Pro? I'd love to see them in the Ballards.
Yeah, you never know. Rey Mysterio seems Senior. He was on our show last year, last summer, which was great. Him and Penzero and a couple of the guys, they came out, and it was a great match. So, you know, definitely.
Whatever, Jeff. Whatever. Whatever, dude. Everybody knows. Everybody and their mother knows that you're rather partial when it comes to the Pandolero. We know this.
You're gonna have to make me a best of TJ from him.
I got to pick up some more. I have to pick up some more footage. But actually,
yeah. So anybody who hasn't seen him, definitely go check him out. I'd rather watch him than Rey Mysterio.
There you go. Well, since you are my sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com, any new releases, DVD-wise?
No DVD-wise. I guess this is the season for Halloween. Halloween's coming up, so we're going to have a lot of new, fresh masks coming to WrestleWarehouse.com for Halloween. A lot of big sales. We have one up right now. Buy two masks, get one free. So definitely check out WrestleWarehouse.com. A lot of stuff for Halloween coming up.
Awesome. Well, Jeff, thanks for reaching in and making the hot tag. I appreciate it, brother, and we'll have to probably have you on with the champ next Thursday.
Oh, sounds good. All right, man, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother, take it easy. Okay, that was the owner and operator of SoCalProWrestling.com and WrestleWarehouse.com. We're recording, but we're not streaming. So what we're going to do is I'm going to break it down, visit my sponsor, WrestleWarehouse.com, and we will talk to you next Thursday.